It's nice to meet you, Zoe. How are you?
Nice to meet you, too. I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
Let's just start with who you are and where you're from so people get a baseline. I understand from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes. I'm an East Tennessee girl. I've lived in Nashville for a few years now, and I'm a songwriter here in town.
How big a deal was music when you were growing up in Knoxville, and where did you kind of get the bug to start writing songs?
I didn't really catch that bug until I came here into town. I went to Belmont for classical music.
I see.
And, funny enough, I happened to go to a school that had a songwriting program, and I ended up changing majors and, going the songwriting route. However, at the same time that I changed majors, I was writing my first songs, I ended up losing a big chunk of my hearing. And kind of tailspin into a whole hearing loss, I guess.
It sort of took over your life for a while.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's kind of a funny turn of events in that way, where I found out what I really wanted to do. And at the same time, the universe seemed to be telling me no. So, so that's how I kind of got started in songwriting. I was the bedroom poet growing up, but never the songwriter, never the high school band scenario or anything like that. So,
well, what was your direction in classical then?
I wanted to sing opera and go that route. And I guess I figured out after immersing myself in it for enough time that that's not what I wanted to do.
It'll weed out the less than 1,000% committed wanted. It's a very demanding course of study and pathways.
It is. And and it really, they seek for perfection in a very specific niche kind of part of music. And I respect that very much, but it's, I'm someone who kind of wants to do it my way and, you know, sing the song the way I feel like singing it. So
give me a sequence of timing for what year did you arrive in Nashville to start your course of study, and then when did your hearing issues begin to crop up?
Let's see. I have been deaf to some degree for most of my life. I lost all my hearing by the time I was 8 in my right ear.
Oh, wow.
And so I kind of dabbled with hearing aids and that whole thing when I was little. And I always did music in like the classical sense and choir and in school and such. Wrote poems, but never really tried to seek it out in any other way than just, you know, school. Then my hearing loss really came about to a further degree when I was in college, when I first went into the songwriting program at Belmont.
You'd already made the transition a bit.
I remember my first songwriting class was when I lost my hearing. I went to class one day and I couldn't talk to anyone. I'd woken up one morning and my left ear, the only ear that works, wasn't working anymore. I felt like I was in a fishbowl. Everyone I spoke to was just kind of this blur. So that lasted for like a month or two. I went to Vanderbilt and I eventually kind of gained about half of my hearing back in my left ear just through waiting it out, and just kind of kept my fingers crossed, hoping it wouldn't happen again. A few years later, I lost my hearing even more so in my left ear. It happened 5 times within 6 months. The longest was a month that I couldn't hear anyone. I could kind of talk to people if I really, really tried, and they were right in front of me, and nothing else was going on around me, but that was the big wake-up call where I realized this is not going away. It randomly strikes, my hearing just completely goes out for the most part. And it lasts a couple days, it lasts a month, just depends.
First of all, does that mean that your right ear went to zero or that there's some sort of signal there?
Zero. It went zero. There's nothing. Wow. They don't even test it when I do hearing tests anymore.
What was the medical explanation given to you guys?
There really is no explanation for either ear. They think that the ears are separate causes. My right ear might be because of a virus called RSV that I could have contracted when I was a baby, or it could be genetic. And my left ear, we're guessing it's genetic or autoimmune. There, I've taken every test under the sun. No one can say what it is. But my right ear, it does not work. I recently got a cochlear implant, and now I can technically hear out of my right ear, but without it, nothing. The left ear is about half of the hearing that's still there, and I wear a hearing aid in that ear, and I also have tinnitus in that ear. So, which is, for those who are listening who don't know, that's a high-pitched ringing.
Talk about what you think was carried you through your passion for music when you had half, you know, you're listening in mono on one side of your head. One could imagine that would make music confusing, frustrating, and just say, I'm running away from it instead of running toward it.
Oh, for sure. I think my family and my friends for definitely pushing me and always believing me in me when I haven't believed in myself. That's been instrumental. But for me, it is scary. It's hard just even talking to people sometimes if I'm in any scenario other than the situation we're in right now. It's really hard to hear people. But thinking back on all that, I remember being very scared when it first happened, and I'm trying to think of what really did push me through. I'm definitely a lyricist at heart, so I've probably just being able to at least write everything down, write the words, and then express the music after that has been really helpful. I've always been words first, so I'm sure that helped some, but every time I lose more and more hearing in my ear, because it's constantly progressing. I've just figured out that if I tough through it, I almost hit a new normal. Like everything isn't as bad as it seems after, you know, a couple months of just living in that frustrating hearing loss space. I don't know, everything starts to become a little normal. Just like if, I don't know what the right way to describe it is. It's really kind of strange to describe, but I'm able to adjust, and it doesn't seem as bad as it is. Someone who probably woke up tomorrow and had the same hearing loss as I do right now might feel a little differently, but I guess I just always just keep adjusting a little.
What does it feel like to be playing in a room with your band? You've got some nice videos of that are very much performance-driven. You're standing in a circle. You seem very swept up in it. What does it feel like? Can you compare it to what you think others are going? Others would hear?
Oh, for me, first of all, I hear in mono, basically, since I only have one ear. I have actually had a lot of problems with monitors to the extent that I wear headphones on stage now, just because it's easier to hear everyone, easy to take on and off. With the band, I have been told by the band members that, you know, my guitar is out of tune, I can't, or I'm not, you know, playing something right, and they'll kind of look over at me and say, like, Zoe, go tune that up, or do this or that, and they kind of have caught on to when I'm not hearing things correctly. Yeah, sometimes I have to restart a song because the music itself becomes so confusing, it's hard to find your root.
Your pitch center.
So stuff like that happens, but it's never too bad because the people around me totally understand and, you know, they kind of laugh it off and smile or just say, hey, you know, fix this and let's move on. And it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
But definitely the most stressful part has been floor monitors. So, so having headphones recently changed to that has been huge. Yeah. It's made everything so much more fun and so much easier.
Well, when you pulled up here and you said hi at your car window and I gave you directions and stuff, you know, I was uncertain about what I was going to encounter in terms of your ability to communicate just right off the bat. So it was utterly natural and normal. I would never have noticed a thing.
Yeah.
Are you making kind of certain adjustments or a point of view, or what have you learned about how to approach a situation when you are speaking to a strange, you know, a new person at a distance like that?
For sure. Sometimes I don't hear them at all, and it looks like I'm ignoring someone, and I've gotten that. I've done that a lot, too. For me, I'm really good about where I place myself in a room. I get anxiety just from sitting on someone's left side because I can't hear them, so I always kind of place myself on their right side if I'm sitting with someone. I definitely take charge of that and tell people where I want to sit. Eye contact is huge for me. It's really hard to read lips, but I can do it to a degree. So that helps. And probably just kind of it's like a Mad Libs where you kind of piece together, hey, well, I don't know what that word was, but I do know what the next three words were. So I'm sure that's what he said. And sometimes, you know, like a Mad Libs, you get something really absurd and funny instead. So for me, that's been very helpful. Eye contact, really taking the time to think and listen and wonder, well, what did that person say? And really take into account all that's being said in order to piece it together.
Oh, being a better listener.
Yes.
When it's harder to hear.
Oh, yeah. My friend, one of my friends and I were talking yesterday about how I'm, a great listener and how odd it is because most of the time I don't hear you. I'm that person that you can tell a joke to twice and check it and make sure it's funny because probably won't hear it the first time. Stuff like that. But for me, I guess, yeah, I just try to stay focused on whoever I'm talking to. Other than that, it is hard and I do ignore people accidentally. I'm someone who would never do that to another person. So it's a little, that does make me feel really bad when I realize I've done that. But yeah, I guess it's not as hard as it seems. Once you live in this life of being deaf, or having hard of hearing, it's not as bad as it's made out to be, yeah. I guess. And you can really overcome anything so.
What is a cochlear implant?
Okay, so yeah, a lot of people don't know what a cochlear implant is. So basically, it is a surgery that you have where they place a metal coil inside your inner ear, and that electrifies your inner ear and stimulates basically the same electrical signals you'd get from hearing someone. I can't hear out of my right ear, so they put that metal coil in. And I wear a really large-looking hearing aid, basically, on that ear, and it zaps me. It doesn't. You don't feel anything. It doesn't hurt. But it is tiny little electrodes, kind of being zapped to.
Based
to
on make the frequencies that are coming through the air, kind of a modeling of the way the cochlea works in nature. By depending on what frequency is present, it zaps the particular hairs that are there waiting for their signal, whether low, medium, or high. And of course, there's so many gradations. It's incredible.
Yes, there's so many tiny little hair cells in your inner ear that their sole job is to tell you about those frequencies and the intensity of those frequencies. And a cochlear implant only has anywhere between 16 to 24 electrodes, I believe, depending on which one you get. So comparing 16 electrodes to thousands of little hair cells in your ear, you get the picture. It might sound a little different for a while.
What happened when you first experienced it?
It was strange. I hadn't been able to hear out of my right ear since I was 8. So, it wasn't as shocking as I thought it would be, probably because I have hearing in my other ear still, but it felt just like there was a bunch of white noise in my ear. Everything that was said was a little jarring. It gave me a headache. It was a little strange. And really, I just wanted to go sit in a quiet room and listen to nothing, even though I just gained hearing. So it was a little strange at first. Everything was so jarring and really kind of hard to handle. Putting dishes away in my house was hard because of the clanking.
Yeah.
Talking to people, I'd find myself getting really frustrated in conversation, even though nothing frustrating was happening, you know, great conversation, but I just couldn't stand listening to someone for another second. So for a while it was that, but now it's gotten better. I'm starting to actually enjoy it.
Does it improve over time as your neurons, your brain begins to adapt to it, literally shapes to it, right?
It literally does. Yeah. Every month or so I go back to Vanderbilt and they tune me up basically.
Yeah.
I don't have the full spectrum of sound even being sent to my ear yet. Oh. Because if I did, I'd probably pass out, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Be that intense. Yeah. It would be just miserable. So they slowly give me a little more volume, they go through every frequency and turn them all up a little every time I come in. And so that first week after I leave the doctor's office, it's, again, that jarring feeling of the world is too loud and too intense. And then my body somewhat assimilates and I'm fine. And mm-hmm. it's just another noise. It's strange now that I'm starting to get more used to it that I'm actually somewhat able to understand people with it on. I'll plug up my good ear and try to listen to Just the World with my cochlear implant, and everyone sounds kind of like a robot. It's an excuse for me to watch a lot of Law and Order lately, because I'll put the subtitles on and try to follow what they're saying.
Now, what your voice is a different thing than a instrument in the room or your band, because it's coming from inside you and it resonates through your skull and your mm-hmm. throat, and you're hearing it through your bones and in very different ways. So can you describe a bit whether singing has been particularly comforting and a happy place, or if it's been a struggle? Where does that voice that you hear inside your head from you fit?
Oh. That's always been a happy place for me. I don't have any sort of issues with pitch perception, so that, thank goodness, is really helpful. Singing, it does resonate within your body, literally. You know, you can kind of hear yourself better that way, and that is wonderful for me. I'm able to, I love writing a song even before I get an instrument in front of me. In that way, that's definitely my most natural instrument. Mm-hmm. When it comes to hearing loss, though, I am really thankful I studied classical music first, because a lot of people with hearing loss sometimes have some issues with speech. And for me, I found that with singing somewhat, I'd sing in a way where I could hear myself better inside my head instead of projecting outwardly so people could hear me better. And so my first classical teacher in high school, she really honed that in on me and made it very clear that sometimes you just have to trust yourself and the way it feels to sing something versus the way it sounds. And that's been probably one of the most helpful pieces of advice when it comes to singing and having hearing loss, for me at least, is that you have to trust how it feels, because sometimes the way it sounds does not sound the way it sounds to everyone else. To me, it would sound great to sing in a way that kept all the sound very close in my mouth and in my head versus projecting and singing out loud. So it's been a big trust thing, trusting the people around me to say, this is the right way, it sounds great, this way we're able to hear what you're saying and your vowels are clear, whatnot. It's just that trust of feeling versus hearing.
Does the acoustic guitar feel particularly good to you? I mean, I would imagine that's instrument that resonates
true.
In your chest, in your
definitely
in your
guitar. You'll find me kind of like leaning over the guitar to hear it some days just to get understand exactly what's going on. But definitely feeling it is a huge part of guitar for me. I wish I had some profound answer to this, but I think it's been a little more over my head in that way, where I probably haven't noticed those things, but they do make such a difference. Holding a guitar, feeling, I love playing guitar while I sing, probably for that reason, because I have a little more control over everything too. I have things touching me. Yeah. The guitar, the headphones on my ears. Being kind of near the whole band, not all being too separated, all that stuff helps.
Well, I've always imagined that if the choice were, and many people do this mental exercise, if the choice were living the rest of your life blind or deaf, I regard the notion of having silence around me and not being able to hear as far more disorienting and scary than the blackness of blindness. And so maybe that's an excuse to ask you, what are you scared of? When have you been afraid about where this is going?
That's a great question. It is scary for anyone to think that question of being blind or deaf. And it, yeah, it's hard. It's a scary question to ask because it's the unknown. For me, the more I've lost my hearing, and when I do have those episodes where my hearing basically goes completely out, like it happened once while we were recording. I'm recording right now for my record, and the one where I was mentioned earlier, I couldn't hear for a month this past year. That happened during recording time. So it was very intense for me to think, okay, I'm making a record. I'm wanting to do music and, you know, go full steam ahead with these songs that I've written, and I can't hear them. And I'm going to have to trust that my band members in the studio know what to say and what to do. I'm going to have to trust in myself that I'm singing things the right way. That was very scary for me, but probably when I first lost my hearing in college was the scariest, because that's when the tinnitus started as well. And it wasn't just, I can't hear anything. It was, there's only one thing I can hear, and it's ringing. And I'm going to go crazy if I have to hear it for one more second.
Yeah.
And I generally, you know, thought I would for a minute, just because it was so intense. And the more, of course, the more you fixate on something, the worse it gets. So for me, that fear of not hearing anything at all and not being able to communicate with anyone has been the scariest part of this whole experience. It doesn't scare me too much now because I have a cochlear implant, and it's almost like my insurance plan, you know. It's that backup plan that hopefully it'll work well enough that I'll never have to deal with total silence in my life. But I guess not being able to communicate is scarier than not being able to hear anyone. I don't know sign language. I didn't grow up being completely deaf, and that'd probably be the scariest thing, is lack of communication. That's why I write songs. That's why I play music, is to communicate with someone in a way that I couldn't do otherwise. So being deaf is not the end of the world. There are a lot of people that do it and have live very happy lives. But I think that fear of how do I communicate and how do I express myself with music when I have no reference point except for maybe some tinnitus ringing? How do I talk to people? How do I sing these songs that I really, really want them to hear? That'd probably be the scariest part, more than being deaf. Anyone can get past that and be just fine. I think it's just handling that lack of communication for a while.